Good morning. Welcome to Vision in Action Live. We have a presentation on personal development point solutions today and a guest, Dr. Brian Samuel, Vice President for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at the University of Alabama. And he is also the author of Finding Myself, A Journey from the Projects to the PhD. Welcome, Dr. Samuel, to Vision in Action Live today. I'm Jim Boswell. I'm your host and the author of Lifelong Fulfillment, Take Charge of Your Life. So today's presentation will be in two parts. We will have part two in another 2 weeks when that podcast is released. Point solutions integrate factual and authoritative data directly into lifelong fulfillment processes to support specific information requirements that you might need in things like psychology, business, math, economics, human relationships, et cetera. Today, we're going to look at a few of those. The ones we're going to do today are on environment. We're going to check in on white noise, explosive information, and the half-lives of facts. We're going to look at economics, some about the U.S. incomes, some about education, and some about priority careers. And we're going to look a little bit at behavioral psychology, what the learning curve means to you and how learning retention works. So with that, let's get started. So first of all, environmental factors. One that is easy to not see is called white noise. These are the distractions and irrelevancies that defocus, delay, and confuse our progress. They're all around. It was hard when I was coming up and in college, and it's immensely harder now by orders of magnitude. So learning to control the white noise is a very important feature. So managing it allows you to hear the information that's there to be had. It allows you the ability to advance your agenda without being misdirected, and it doesn't dissipate your valuable time and resources, because you are always going to have more demand than resource. Another environmental factor here is that information is exploding at an exponential rate. If you're familiar with an exponential curve, you know, when it really starts growing, it's virtually a vertical line headed to infinity. It's very hard for individuals to keep up with that and to sort the wheat from the chaff, so to speak. So we have a big challenge because there's more information than we can master. So we have to pick and choose the right things for our own objectives and, you know, stick to that rather than waste time being misdirected. The other thing is facts change in that kind of environment very quickly. So we have to deal with the concept of information only can last so long before it becomes invalid. So the half-life of facts is the amount of time that it takes for half of that information to become superseded or simply untrue. A century ago, 35 years was about the half-life for what an engineer might learn. Modern estimates are that that lasts 2.5 to 5 years. So a tremendous acceleration in decreasing the half-life. And the most important comment, I think, on this page happens to be that it would take 10 to 20 hours a week to keep up your engineering degree once you get it. And that really tells you everything about the need for continuing education, no matter what you choose to do. To move on to economics, let's just take a couple of data points to sensitize you to what's going on. And you're going to have to delve deeper into this on your own at a later time. The USA, in terms of economics, in other words, in total income in 2022, shows the characteristics of a skewed normal curve, with 80% of the returns falling for only about 10% of the working populace. So to sum that up, 22% or 29 million people in the economy in 2022 that were earning salaries, they were above $150,000 per year, and they generated 80% of the U.S. incomes in that year. 78% of the population generated the other 20%. So it's highly skewed to the right and higher incomes. The other thing, these two other bullet points I want to talk about is that we get good advice. One happens to be a benchmark that encourages you, with the income you have, to only spend 50% of your income for your needs so that you have 30% for your wants and you're putting 20% into savings and investments. Well, by comparison, in 2022, the average household spent 97% of income on their needs, led by taxes, transportation, medical, and food. So clearly, we're not achieving that benchmark objective. So in economics, what we can generally come away with is incomes and employment track education. The less education you have, the less employment opportunities you have, and the less control over income. So the more education you have, the better the outcomes overall. And to top this off, which also goes back to the slide before, is that 140 out of 1,036 US occupations that are recognized by the Bureau of Labor Statistics drive 80% of the annual mean revenues. So we will do further podcasts and I identify those specifically, but this really gives you pause in terms of thinking about economics and how it relates to your life. Let's look at behavioral psychology. This is how people act. And by doing statistical studies and such, behavioral psychology can deliver some real insights. One is on the learning curve. That's the expectation that it takes people time to master a certain task or body of knowledge, and that the results will improve over time, sometimes very quickly, sometimes very slowly, as people approach their peak performance. So this applies to everything you do, all knowledge and all skill acquisition. So if you're going to college, you're on learning curves in every discipline you're taking courses in. As you move into work, same thing, you're going to have learning curves. So it's a fact of life and one we have to expect and master. On the flip side, learning retention is very small for information that's just presented and then you don't do anything about it. It's about 10%. Practicing principles and processes can drive that up to about a 70% mastery level. And if you train others, well, then that can move you up to about 90%. So there's an old adage that says, see one, do one, and then teach one, which follows that very thing. So now we will adjourn to our interview. Well, we've reached the point in our program today when we engage other perspectives, those of people leading self-directed lives and those of experts in point solutions. I want to introduce you today to Dr. Brian Samuel, Vice President of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at the University of Alabama, and an author of a book called Finding Myself, My Journey from the Projects to the PhD. Welcome, Dr. Samuel, to Vision in Action Live.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you here today. So let's start with maybe you giving us some perspective on how you come to be here in the position you're in, what you're working on, and the expertise you bring into play.
Thank you. As you mentioned, I'm Dr. Brian Samuel. I'm currently the Vice President for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at the University of Alabama in Huntsville. And my story is kind of summarized in the fact that I grew up in an urban housing project and had a lot of challenges with economics and education and, crime and different kind of things in the neighborhood that just made it very, very challenging to be where I am today. So my calling is all about helping people accomplish their goals, right? And primarily with emphasis on education, coming to college, becoming doctors, lawyers, pastors, educators, nurses, whatever it is that their heart and minds aspire to. So I've been doing that for about 30 years, and I began with myself coming out of the projects and making a 12 on the ACT, just trying to find myself. And so I help young people today do pretty much what I did, find themselves, understand what's important to them, understand the roadmap for, accomplishing those goals and becoming lifelong learners and things of that nature.
Okay. So what might be the most important skill that a student could bring to bear toward achieving their goals?
Wow, quite a few. In the book, I talk about the 4 Ds, right? Desire, you got to have desire. And that desire is not simply wanting something, right? Because many of us can probably identify something that we want. But that desire has got to be rooted in a why. Why is this important to you? And for me, the why was I grew up hungry, I grew up very poor. And I wanted a better quality of life. And that doesn't have to be a student's why, but they got to have a why coupled with that desire. They also got to have the discipline. A lot of times students don't want to go to class because the weather is bad, it's cold outside, or maybe they don't want to go to class because it's really nice and pretty, too pretty to be sitting in a class, or maybe they got a girlfriend, a boyfriend, or somebody that they want to chase. And you got to go to class. So you got to have that discipline to go to class when you need to go and do those things that you need to do when you need to do them so that you can do what you want to do when you want to do them. You got to have determination. In many cases, students will not have appropriate financing, right? They won't always have the money that they need to pay for tuition, to buy books, and some of those other kind of things. So they got to be determined and be resourceful to find alternative ways and paths for, making sure that they can stay on the path that they're on. And then they got to be dedicated. When I went through school, when I got my master's and ultimately my PhD, there are a lot of things that I could not continue to do, right? I couldn't be at the gym playing basketball when I needed to be studying. I couldn't watch college football or pro football all day and night, like I probably could do if I weren't a student. So you got to have some desire, you got to be disciplined, you got to be determined, and you got to be dedicated. That dedication is all about giving up some things so that you can do this one thing that needs to be done.
The logical question that comes from that is, what happens when you get the student to college and you realize that they don't have those? Do you have a way to instill those values in them or to show them how to acquire them? How does that work, sir?
A lot of times, they are probably unconsciously unaware that they have some degree of desire and discipline and dedication and determination, right? And you have to kind of bring it to the forefront and help them realize, how they have demonstrated those things. A lot of times, young students in today's colleges and universities have a high propensity for playing video games, right? And so,
Right.
not a lot keeps them from the video games. So that to me shows some discipline, and that to me shows some determination. And so what I try to do is help them understand and see those places where they have shown discipline, where they have shown determination, where they have shown desire, right? Or where they have shown dedication. And get them to put some of those actions and abilities and different kind of things into other areas. Most of the time they have it for those things that they like to do. It's the things that they don't like to do, where they lack it, right? So, I try to help them understand who they are, where they've been, and different things that they've done and overcame and how that can add value in other spaces.
Well, your personal life brings great credibility to being able to communicate that message, I think.
Thank you.
One of the things in your book is something about it's you versus you. Maybe you'd like to elaborate on that a little bit.
Absolutely. A lot of times, students will, and people in general, not just students, but working in higher education, I see it quite a lot. Students will compare themselves to others, right? This guy got this nice car, or this pretty girlfriend, or nice, clothes, or whatever it is that they may have. And, they want to keep up with the Joneses. They want to do some of those different kind of things that many people may desire, but you're not in competition with other people. You don't have to graduate in 3 years. You don't have to graduate in 4 years. There's never, in my mind, there's never a bad time to graduate. Anytime you accomplish a goal, you accomplish it on time, right? In my mind. So you're not competing with your peers. You're competing with yourself. Right? Are you going to be disciplined and focused enough to stay on the path, stay on the journey, and accomplish the goal and learn and master those things that will help you have a better life, have a better career, be able to take care of your family or whatever it is that you aspire to do? Or are you going to subscribe to some minimalist type of thinking and way of being at the expense of accomplishing that goal? Is you versus you. Every time you go to class, you're not dancing with the professor, you're not dancing with the devil, you're dancing with yourself. Have you taken the time and put the time in to study the material, to master that material, and do those things that are needed so that you can demonstrate what you have learned? Or have you put your time somewhere else, right? And so if you're putting your time somewhere else, it's going to be hard to be successful.
I see. How does this information get delivered at University of Alabama? Do you teach a course, or is it new student indoctrination? How does that happen?
No, I wouldn't say indoctrination. That's not a good word in higher education these
Well,
days.
okay.
But I would say when you have an opportunity to meet and speak with and engage with them individually, you learn a little bit about them, where they're coming from, what's important to them, and you can share some of these different ideas, ideologies, if you will, about preservation, about re resiliency, about overcoming barriers and obstacles so that you can accomplish goals and what have you. So a lot of that is face-to-face interaction and engagement. And normally, students have sought you out or worked to engage with you about resources and opportunities that can help them do those type of things.
I see. Okay. Also, a couple other points in your book, something you had to comment about grit and something also about grind. Maybe you want to elaborate on that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Mr. Boswell. Grit is, grit is to me mastering the art and capitalizing upon, all the tenets of failure, right? Grit is putting in the work, doing the work, going to work despite all the different circumstances and different kind of things that might suggest to you that you probably should not, right? Or you don't want to. And I tell my kids, I got two boys, one 26 and one 14. And I tell them, when you were learning how to ride a bike, and I held the seat for you, right? And I ran aside that bike, and and at some point I turned it loose and I let you go. And you ran into the mailbox and you scuffed up your arm and you scuffed your knee and this, that, and the other. And you cried a little or what have you. Did you stop or did you get back on the bike? 99% of children get back on that bike, right? They get back on that bike. And so grit to me is, doing the work, putting in the time, and mastering the art and all the tenets of learning from failure, right? And so you go from this place of falling and hitting the mailbox and scraping up your arm to eventually you're popping wheelies, you're jumping the sidewalk, you're trying to ride with no hands, right? You've got somebody on the handlebars, right? You're
Right.
trying to do all this stuff now because you had that grit, you had that tenacity, you had that stick-to-it-ness that got you from point A to point B, or maybe even C, D, or E, or F, right? To where you're way down the path now. And so that's what grit is about, hanging in there. And grind is very closely and tightly coupled with grit, right? It's not only doing the work, but it's doing the work day in, day out, day in, day out, coming back one day after the next, one day after the next, despite all the turmoil and, in some cases, being displeased or just feeling like the grass is greener somewhere else. But you're grinding every day. You just keep doing a little something, a little bit of something that moves you ever so closer to accomplishing the goal. When I was doing my PhD, I got to the point about writing the dissertation, and my advisor told me a dissertation was like eating an elephant, right? An elephant, you're never gonna eat that elephant all at one sitting. It's practically impossible to do that. I don't know if a great whale, a great white shark or some type of orca killer whale could eat a whole elephant in one sitting, right? But you can if you take, one bite at a time, right? And so when I did my PhD and I was working on the dissertation, every day I would do 3 hours worth of work on that dissertation. Every day. Some days I'm writing, some days I'm editing, some days I'm researching, some days I'm doing the bibliography. Some days I don't know what I'm gonna do, but I'm gonna get in there and I'm gonna put 3 hours in every day because that grind is gonna take me ever so much closer to being finished and being completed and having accomplished that goal. So, grit is, doing the work, learning from failures and staying the course and having some degree of tenacity. And grind is a little bit of that, but it's, doing something every day to kind of move you closer toward accomplishing that goal.
Right. Well, thank you for sharing that. Persistence is very big toward achieving success in anything.
Oh,
So,
absolutely.
yeah. So, is there any advice that you might give a young aspirant toward an educational goal?
Absolutely. Anytime you have a goal, that goal may change. The goal may change. Your direction may change. I started out, I thought I was going to be an accountant, right? I had romanticized the ideal of being an accountant and wearing a nice shirt and suspenders and some glasses and, looking what I perceived to be important or intelligent or what have you. And then I took a exam in econ and made a 32 F on it. 34 was a D plus on the curve, right? And I kind of said to myself, maybe I don't want to be an accountant. Maybe this isn't really what I want to do. And so I changed my major, and then I found out that I had to still do accounting. I had still had to do econ anyway. So I went back, and the second time around, I made an A in that same class that I was failing the first time. And I recognized that I was failing the first time because I wasn't focused. I was there, but I wasn't present and in the moment, right? When you're in college and you're trying to accomplish a goal of a bachelor's degree, you have to be in that moment. If your mind is on, things at home, if your mind is on things, that you much rather spend your time in, it's going to be hard to hear what the professor is saying, to take away what's important, to really prepare for essays and papers and exams and all those different kind of things that you have to do to demonstrate that you have mastered a concept or you have mastered a discipline or whatnot. And so my advice is, set your goals, understand what it is that you want to accomplish, where you want to go, and what is going to take to get there. You know, some people want to be doctors, but they don't want to deal with blood,
Right.
right? Well, you're going to have to deal with a little blood to get to your medical doctorate degree. I mean, it's you know, you don't have to be in a field once you get that degree, but going to accomplish that degree, you're going to have to deal with some blood. I mean, it's just that simple. So know what is going to be required and or expected of you so that you can ready yourself and ready your mind for staying that course. You know,
Right.
if you come in thinking, man, I'm going to be a lawyer, but you don't want to study politics, you don't want to study Latin, you know, you don't want to study some of the things that's going to help you get to that, it's going to be hard to be a lawyer.
Okay. Very insightful. Well, Dr. Samuel, we've kind of come to the end of our little discussion. I want to say I really appreciate your insights here. And I hope everyone gets to see you on our show and gets a chance to read your book, Finding Myself. And with that, I think we'll bring this to a close. Thanks again for attending today, and we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And that's it for our show today. Thank you, Dr. Samuel, for your insightful participation. Thank you all for joining us on Vision in Action Live today. We broadcast every 2 weeks and announce in advance. Look for our next installment in a couple of weeks. You can find Lifelong Fulfillment, Personal Development, Point Solutions, and other podcasts, newsletters, and point solutions in book and video formats at lifelongfulfillment.com. It's been a pleasure to spend time with you today. Have a great time. We'll see you next installment.